Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Nick and JP, we're going to get to quick hits in just a minute. We do have to get to Shador and Stefanski in about 20 minutes, but our guy FNC on Instagram saying Bob Chesney has to wear a girdle because he slipped a disc a few years back while showing an F-150 to a concrete contractor. And he says, this is where it felt a little personal to me.
Yeah.
I said, Bob Chesney uses a CPAP because he snores like a freight train due to his sleep apnea. His wife, Wanda, sleeps in the room, in the spare room most nights. Hey, we can all be Bob Chesney there, okay? I snore like a freight train.
We've not discussed your sleep apnea results.
That's not true. That's moderate.
You didn't tell me.
Moderate.
What was your score?
The doctor didn't tell me. She just said, because I'm going to the next doctor next week.
Yeah?
But I have moderate.
Moderate.
That was the word. So not life endangering. But just enough to really make my life tougher.
Are you going to get the machine?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
I use it every night.
We'll be game changer. We'll be sleep apnea buddies.
Well, we were
take pictures in our masks.
We're
the day before.
Brothers in arms. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can't. I mean, you're going to. No one looks good in those masks, man.
Nobody does.
I mean, everyone.
But that's
just looks
why
awful.
It's our safe place.
Yes. Yeah. You're going to send it to me and be like, "Do I look like Darth Vader now?" I'm going to be like, "I don't know, Nick. I don't know."
Oh wait, no, that's happening. Snoring. Let's get to quick hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels, Angels,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Bob Chesney, baby. Ooh, that's an Elvis impersonator.
I do. She thinks my tractor's sexy in the Bob Chesney voice.
No, because I just did an Elvis, so it's going to get worse from here. Let's just get it. Everyone is weighing in on the Shawars, as they're going to be known in the future, including comedian Bill Burr, who went on BetMGM and answered why he thinks people don't like Shador.
The guy likes to dress nice.
And here's the deal.
He likes to have a nice car. He likes the women that like that stuff. Who is he hurting?
Nice,
the egos of fat sports writers wearing Hawaiian shirts never came close to top shelf. That's why they don't like
him. Agree. Agree or disagree with the overarching theme.
All right, so now we know. If you disagree, if you don't like Shador, it's just because of that take right there.
You just
there.
Never got top shelf.
Never close to top shelf, you know what?
Yep. So it was a funny bit until he hit the top shelf line, at which point last night I had finally stopped getting sick, and then I laughed so hard it almost made me get sick for the last time. It is so funny that I continue to try and understand people that just don't like the kid. And they really are. I want to continue to make this point to just the casual Browns fans who might not realize this. They have nothing against the kid because they're not paying attention to the kid. They have a problem with the noise around the kid. And I honestly, there was a Christian blogger who had issue with Shador after the game being like, this is what I did without really any offseason help. and talked about humility. And I'm like, if you'd paid more attention to Shador, you'd realize humility is one of like the five things.
The humility rant that Mangini went on, by the way, absolutely. Too. He did the same type of thing.
I'd be like, you're lost in the sauce. You're just not paying attention. You're just reacting to the noise. You're not reacting to the kid. Because even though he has some moments where it's like, oh, he's a little full of himself, humility is there more often than not.
Well, it's also just the idea. Like, I love the meme that put J.J. McCarthy out there and showed him doing his angry face. And it's like, when J.J. does it, it's confident. How great is this? But then when Shador does it, it's arrogance.
Oh, no, everybody. All right. It's nine. Nine's on the loose. Yeah,
we're so scared.
It's just like Stranger Things, except he's an awful quarterback that nobody wants to watch.
Omaha! You went Bob Chesney on J.J. McCarthy there.
I didn't have a voice to go to because I'd already used the voice for Bob Chesney. Bob Chesney!
Okay. All right, so I want to ask you this. Based off of Myles Garrett's season, I don't know many people that have really paid attention to what could be an historic season. Everyone knows, you know, JSN is having a great year, Jackson Smith and Jigba, but I don't know if everyone knows how historic this is. Through 11 games, he's got 1,313 receiving yards. That projects out to just over 2,000, right? Calvin Johnson with the single-season record, 1964. What's a more impressive breaking record if it happens this year, JSN or Myles Garrett? In the sack total.
I'll say Myles Garrett because he's doing it on a losing team, whereas JSN is putting up these numbers in the offensive times of all offensive times.
All right, I like the take. It's a fair take. Because I instinctively went to I like watching wide receivers more than I like watching defensive ends and pass rushers get after the quarterback. And so I wanted to go towards that, but I think you're right. This is the offensive times that we're living in, and it's not as if sack totals have drastically changed from, let's say, I don't know, 20 years ago. The only thing that's changed is the amount of games from 16 to 17 there.
To your point, though, I do think if both are up for grabs in the final 2 weeks of the season, I think JSN's potential record is going to get more hype.
But are we not approaching this with anywhere close to the same hype as Myles Garrett? Because why? Because we think it's going to fall off with JSN and it's not going to be something that he obviously breaks? Or is it because it is just a offensive world that we live in, so the expectation now is every couple years we're going to have somebody that threatens to break this?
One, I think Seattle's a very meh team. Sam Darnold's a very meh quarterback. They put up good numbers, by the way, but like, there's nothing sexy or sensational about that team. And two, I just think Miles has been on a heater for the last four games in a way that, like, he's not like Miles had, what, five sacks through the first five or six games?
He had a three-game stretch with zero sacks.
And so what he's done is just otherworldly. And when you're having three sacks a week, three out of the last four games, you kind of got to pay attention to that a little bit more. Like, it's just more in your face. Omaha! Josina Anderson is reporting that at least two NFL teams could have interest in Bill Belichick this coaching cycle, with a third team possible as well. Shall we speculate on what the teams that would actually have interest in Bill Belichick are?
Well, sure, we could speculate it. All right, wait, let's play with this for a second. Giants have got to be one of them, right?
I don't know about that. They actually might be too stable of ownership to go to Belichick, given all his nonsense right now.
I would just think it's always been a team that he's gravitated towards. It's always been a team that he's interested. They have the head coaching opening. All right.
I think you got the wrong New York team.
Are the Jets part of it? Okay, so you think the Jets are one.
Yeah, because they're desperate and stupid.
There's going to be a team that we haven't even considered, or a team that we shouldn't even be, like the Bengals type, you know, one of those type teams. Not saying the Bengals. Is it the Packers, one of those type teams that we haven't yet considered? Are we thinking good team or bad team here?
I'm going to say smart organizations aren't going to be in on Belichick. The Jordan Hudson thing is too loud right now.
I don't understand the beef with Bob Latore at this point. I don't know where that's gone.
She's just a drama queen.
Can you even explain to me what the messages between the two of them are even about at this point?
She's a dumb 24-year-old. That's all that is.
And is it also, I think I've learned in the past 24 hours, it's Jordan?
No, she's...
Or is that made up?
I think it's a troll. I think she's 100% just Jordan a dumb 24-year-old troll.
What is that all about?
Can I give you one?
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Well, he just did the interviewing cycle with Atlanta, though. Like, he did it. They said no. In fact, I thought Bill left embarrassed from that, to the point where I think he ended up at UNC just so he wouldn't feel like nobody wanted him. I almost wonder if Bill would say no thanks to Atlanta just based off of that alone.
I think Bill would run to any NFL. I think Bill would take the Browns job if it was open tomorrow.
I mean, it's got to be.
I think he's desperate. This UNC thing is an awful look, and if he doesn't get an NFL job this year, I don't think it gets easier from here.
I don't think the NFL job's going to go well either, though.
Oh,
I think you're signing up for a disaster.
Yeah.
It's going to
bring
worse.
Jordan and Rug Lombardi and all the other chuckleheads.
It's going to go like Pete Carroll in Las Vegas.
Honestly, it could go worse. He does. He could bring back Patricia and Brian Daboll, though. So he's got his NFL acolytes there for him.
There we go. All right, we have a media fight
again.
A media fight. Not
me.
No, not you.
Oh, thank God.
This one we have to go to Philadelphia for. Okay, so I'm gonna set the scene for this. This is during Vic Fangio's press conference. Here we go.
We didn't get off in time.
Finish.
What's that?
When you're shut up. No, you've got to finish the answer before you start asking your question.
They're wasting.
We're good. When it comes to the call.
That laugh you heard was Fangio, by the way, laughing as the one reporter told the other reporter to shut up as he wanted to get his question off.
Wow. Do we know the reporters involved?
One of them was Ruben Frank. I know that. I don't know who the other reporter was.
Was Ruben Frank the one telling someone to shut up?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think. You and I have listened to a lot of press conferences. You and I, and there have been some contentious years where there's heat between the media over different reports and stuff. I cannot recall an incident where anyone in the Browns media or Cavs media or Guardians media has told another person on the beat to shut up.
It's out of bounds.
Like, I know there have been times where, like, they get pissed and when an interloper comes in out of nowhere and asks a question,
yeah,
but they don't say it. It then just becomes kind of the stuff we know behind the scenes. I've never heard another person be like, shut up.
Now I kind of want to, though.
It'd be a lot more interesting.
I know, but especially with the Browns beat.
You know, Daryl's wanted to tell someone to shut up.
For sure he has. But the Browns beat's all the same people for so many years, too, though. You know what I mean? Like, they're all friendly with each other.
They're all friendly and so nice.
They're all nice.
And they're also not a-holes from Philly.
No, and that's the other thing. Well, in Philly, though, the other thing on that is that, because the Browns beat, this is why it won't happen here, is the Browns beat's the same collective, I don't know, 7-8 people, right? And like, the Philly beat, though, there's like 30 people covering that team. Like, there's a lot of people that could easily get angry at each other, and a lot of people that don't even really know each other. Whereas I feel like the Browns beat, they do dinners and such together. They're very cordial and nice to each other.
They're also from Philly, and those people are stinking crazy. Omaha! College football playoff committee chairman Hunter Yurecek went viral for this interaction discussing the latest college football rankings last night on ESPN.
There was a change at 6-7 with Oregon and Ole Miss swapping spots. How much of an impact potentially could it be on Ole Miss if it's determined they don't have their head coach in the field?
6-7.
Oh, you're not serious.
But seriously, Rich, we didn't have any discussion about Ole Miss and their coach.
You're not a serious human. Can't be your reaction
to that.
By the
way,
you're not a serious person.
The college football world.
I don't take the committee serious at all now.
The college football world is furious that he would desecrate.
What was that?
A show on ESPN with a 6-7 joke.
It's a joke. I get it. But
it's
like,
funny as hell. He landed the plane.
What is that?
I don't care.
You bring off this like, we take the committee. You call yourself the committee to begin with, by the way. You're taking yourself very seriously. But you have this presenting.
Can't make a joke when it's right there.
You have this presenting force of we are the all-knowing, all-encompassing, serious thing that decides
this college
football committee. And
cultural memes like 6-7.
You can't turn into a jokester at that point.
Yes, you can.
You can't go clown in that moment.
They didn't just...
You think you're Bill Burr trying to make jokes
there
here?
There isn't white smoke billowing from the plumes in Big Ten offices or in NCAA offices.
When they present this like a serious thing. No, they present this like a serious thing. You can't then disrupt the process. You can't disrupt the serious process of this. To drop
so
a 6-7.
No,
you're pulling back the curtain of what this all is. It's all a joke to begin with anyway.
Yes.
But you can't let people into the idea that it's a joke the way that it is.
By the way, professional wrestling admits that it's scripted now.
I'm glad you finally admit it.
Scripted. Didn't say fake. Scripted. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
There's a difference. Siding with the college football traditionalists.
It made me
who
mad.
Are humorless a-holes.
It made me mad to
who
hear
who make
it.
Covering college
Only
football a
they
nightmare.
They present themselves this way.
Guys,
and they present as the all authoritating committee that can do no wrong and knows all and all this. You can't be 6-7.
That's
six,
the thing
seven.
That undermines it. Not
it
the
does.
Fact that it's clearly a bleep show?
It does. I wanted the hours and hours they try to present you with and tell you that these guys do the studying and everything behind this.
They watch the tape.
To then just make it into the joke that we've all
tape.
Known it to be the entire time. That's the problem there. You can't then let us in on the fact that you also know it's a joke and you don't take it as serious as we want you to.
Charming or Chach, Hunter Yurachek's 6-7 joke in the midst. In the damn midst.
Hunter, you're a joke is what I call him.
I'm not going to give you that. You know,
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
But I am.
Look at Jax.
Jax, really? Look at Jax. You got Jax. You
know Jax what? Over there.
Golf clap.
It's been a couple times today where I look over. I got nothing from you on it. Good. And then I look over at Jax, and Jax loves it.
Same thing.
Keeps me going.
Jax is the core here. 216-474-0092. Charming or Chach? Hunter Yurachek, 6-7 joke. And when we come back, Shador was asked straight up with a follow-up about the calls of Stefanski and Sabotage. What more can you want? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Back out on Afternoon Drive. Nick and JP. We got Pete Futek coming up at 5:40. I apparently started that with some sort of a Scottish accent. A little NFL news to pass along. Frank Ragnow unretiring to be the Lions center once again. That's a pretty significant move for a Lions offense that has been up and down over the last couple weeks.
Ah, the Brad bots must be thrilled. Brad Holmes taking a lot of heat in Detroit over the recent couple weeks because they feel like they didn't do enough on that offensive line, and they feel like they're basically throwing away a championship caliber team because they just did nothing, and they did nothing at the deadline as well. So it's almost like a Joe Bitonio trick where it's like, come on back, save me, and so we're not in a situation where we're just screwed.
Have you seen a picture of Frank Ragnow?
I know what he looks like, yes.
He looks a lot like Brennan Gulick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Brennan was like six foot four, 315 pounds. He looks so much like Gulick, I can't, like, is this like the lost Gulick brother? Because I got like 17 of them. We do love our Gulicks here. Just so everybody's clear.
I'm Brennan Gulick. I kind of see it. He kind of has my hair.
I'm Frank Ragnow.
So I'll say Ragnow's got better hair, worse hair than Gulick's got better hair than this.
He's going to love to hear that. That's a very nice thing.
The beard is what you're going for.
Yeah, it's the beard and then the facial structure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got that going for us. Frank Ragnow back in the NFL, just in time for Turkey Day. Gobble, gobble. Now, obviously one of the big storylines here from Game Balls. Why didn't Shador get one this week? Kevin not saying Shador's name in press conferences. All the many ways people have been tabulating and keeping tabs in the Stefanski and Shador relationship. Mm-hmm. Well, today, Shador, in his media availability, as is customary, the starting quarterback on Wednesday, he was asked about his relationship with Kevin Stefanski. There is not, we included the questions here because there's also a follow-up that kind of adds greater context to it.
Not from you, but all your supporters out there say that Kevin Stefanski was sabotaging you.
So you just want to start trouble, huh?
No, I want to ask you what your relationship with him is.
Yeah, well, what people do outside the building isn't really in my control. It's not in my power. So, yeah, like I go out there and tell them to do whatever. You know, that's not nothing I can control or nothing I could do. But overall, you know, I'm just happy to be here. Coach Stefanski, been coaching since I got here. He's been doing a very great job, you know, with everything that's going on.
But what is your relationship like with him? And when we don't see you guys together?
Definitely like a coach. You know, he tells me what I need to do on and off the field. We've definitely grown. Our relationship and everything has grown. So I'm just thankful to be here.
All right. Jeff Shadell.
It was a good follow-up.
Good first question, good follow-up as well there. We love a good Shadelling on the show.
Well, so, but I thought it was important because I left wondering to myself, what do people want out of this relationship? Because if that answer is not enough for you, I don't know what will be. That's a head coach and a player relationship that they don't have to be best friends. And I think that that's where I'm getting a little confused at the dynamic, or at least what people want the dynamic to be. Yeah, Shador should feel like this guy thought that Dylan Gabriel was a better quarterback than him. Like, that should stay in the back of your mind. Not suggesting that he thinks he's being sabotaged or anything either, but also the idea of like, all right, they did an evaluation. That evaluation came out of four different quarterbacks. They thought I was the fourth best. Like, that can't be erased in 30 seconds, or at least being given an opportunity to then start a game against the Raiders and now getting a chance to start in a game against the 49ers. So I'm left wondering, Nick, like, what is this relationship that people think it's supposed to be?
I mean, I think there is the textbook quarterback head coach tied at the hip kind of relationship. I think that's, I think we have, and I know it's not fair because I guess it would be more of a myth or a cliche, but there is Matt Stafford and Jared Goff doing tequila shots in Cabo together, and that's how they formed a quarterback partnership. It is...
You mean Sean McVay?
Which one did I say?
You said Matt Stafford and Jared Goff.
Him too. But yeah, Matt Stafford and Sean McVay in Cabo together, chilling out. It's Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy listfully staring into each other's eye, talking about Spider 2, why banana? Like, it's... There is a cliche out there that,
sure, but
as of right now, that's not where that relationship
right,
is.
And the moment you go with Dylan Gabriel, I'm sorry, you're not going to have that relationship with Shador right off the bat. Like, that's going to... I feel like in my... My interpretation is that's going to take a little bit of time. I thought Shador did a nice job of acknowledging the idea that, like, all right, yeah, he's like a coach to me. That's good. While also not saying anything of sorts of, like, I'm happy with how this has gone, or I think that this has gone the way that I would have done it in my head, and also, oh, what a great job he's done in coaching me up and doing this, because I don't think Shador believes that.
Yeah, I don't think Shador... But I do think allowing the sabotage thing to stay out there is something that benefits Shador and doesn't benefit the Browns. So I think that it was a place to cut off a narrative that doesn't really serve any purpose for Shador other than people continue to put him in a victim box, which I don't think helps him either.
No, that's a good point. Like, you're right. He could have easily just been like, no part of this is a sabotage. Stefanski and I are really close. He teaches me day in, day out. He could have gone that extra mile. Why do you think he didn't, though?
I mean, I think it's apparent. I do think he senses the difference between what Shador and Dylan have gotten. And I guess my response would be like, don't take that as an insult. Take that as an opportunity. Like, take that as an opportunity to win Stefanski over, because those that, like, the NFL is full of guys like Stefanski who look at Shador and don't see what he can do. They look at him and think this is what he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the guys to stay in the NFL for a decade or to be a starter in the NFL long term. You do have to win those guys over. They can't just be the enemy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I find it really interesting, though, that when given the opportunity there, that's the direction that he chose. And I don't blame him, by the way, for choosing that direction. Maybe that's just how I'm built or how I'm wired. Like, if I look at it like I got passed over X amount of times by somebody, you could be the person that gave me the opportunity at the end. I'm still going to remember the times that you didn't choose me, though.
So I want to be clear, because I'm not bashing Shador for this. I'm just pointing out there was a direction he could have taken this. But I also think it bears to kind of point to, there is how you feel publicly and how you feel privately. I think Dylan Gabriel, because of his standing in the organization, how much they believed in him, Dylan could have been a guy at any point that came out and he could have rocked the boat. He could have, because they believe, Kevin specifically believed him in such. I think there's more of a leeway you get there. Shador doesn't have that leeway yet. And so I think there's a bit of a missed opportunity for him to put this one to bed, because there's so many narratives. There are going to be so many pro-Shador narratives.
I don't know that he fully trusts Stefanski enough for that anyway. Like, we went off the show with the idea.
You don't have to trust him. You have to just try and better your situation the best you can.
We went off the show with the idea that if just this week alone in the San Francisco game, if he doesn't hit a certain standard, he could lose his job based off of Stefanski's like and how much he enjoys Dylan Gabriel. Like, so if you go to bat in this moment for Shador, if Shador goes to bat for Stefanski, and cuts down that narrative at the knees and says, no, he's had my back from day one. He's always been helping me out. He's always been doing this. Well, then if he removes the starter job from you a week from now, I mean, then it's just going to look really like it's solely on you and that's it.
Or it's going to look like you're a young quarterback that's still developing. Like, I agree that the way Shador has been treated is different than the way Dylan has been treated, and I think that's dumb. I think if both, while I was watching the game on Sunday, all I could think to myself is, man, how much better would Shador be if you had put the effort, the focus, the development, right, the commitment into Shador the way you had Dylan?
Yeah.
I'll also say that when you don't come out and dispel, it just take the easy win, right? Because that's the whole point with Shador is on the field, take the easy wins when they're there and then take your shots down the field.
I think we'll get there,
I do too, but I think this was an easy win for Shador that I think maybe is that thing that when you do it, even if it's not 100% true, or again, you're just playing the media game, there are benefits there that all of a sudden the Browns relax a little bit more of like, oh, hey, they kind of covered us there. All right, maybe that buys you a little more leeway and buys you a little bit more trust. And I just think like that was an easy win. It's not a big deal he didn't take it, but that was an easy win that if you just put that all the way to the bed, and even though you know in your heart of hearts what the truth is, maybe it starts to help you with whatever asinine fears, this boogie monster crap that people around the NFL have dreamed up with Shador.
I just don't think he believes it at this point, so that's why I didn't say it.
Yeah, you don't have to believe
that's it. Why, but that's why I think 3 or 4 weeks from now, if all of a sudden Shador goes and he wins the San Francisco game, wins the Titans game, and seems like he has a clear runway to have this thing for a while, if he does accomplish all those things, then I could see him coming back and saying, oh, you know what, maybe I didn't see their process, maybe I didn't see their vision, and maybe I do need to give him more credit for this, that, and the other. I just don't think he's there yet.
I think Shador at some point has to understand that it doesn't matter anything other than where you were drafted and the narrative about you in the NFL. It's not fair, but the NFL isn't fair. So the narrative on you is you're about yourself. The narrative on you is you fit out, you don't fit in. These are just some of the narratives out there. This is an opportunity. Like with Dylan. Dylan has to go outside his box to be better than he is, and he can't do it. Well, Shador has to conform a little bit to the box, and that's not just on the field. That's in moments like this. And again, I don't want to make it a criticism.
I know, but he couldn't do it, This is part of the discussion we need to have about it. But he couldn't. He couldn't because he didn't want to give any credit to Stefanski in that moment, and based off of how he's been treated, I don't blame him for it. I wouldn't be there yet, not after 1 week.
I just
wouldn't be personal.
You can have valid concerns about, I don't want to say how you were treated, but how you were brought along versus how Dylan was brought along, and still understand that's how the NFL works. And understand that Stefanski, I think, is part of the boys club that is bought into this narrative that everybody buys into, and they need to be... Like, you're not going to run all those guys out of the NFL. You're not. The only way you're going to do what you want to do, the goal, be the starter, be the man, be the franchise, is if you convert those guys.
I get what you're saying. You
convert more of them with Sugar than you do.
I get what you're saying.
Not that he.
This is the play the game advice, not the actual literal football game. Yes. But like in any office setting or anything like that, play the game. Kiss up to the certain people you need to kiss up to. You know, kiss the ring in some certain ways. Do that. I don't think Shador was ready for that with Stefanski, because I just think there was so much there that is built up, and I I do wonder if he's not going to do it now. I do wonder. I said maybe 3-4 weeks down the line, maybe he'd start doing some of that. If maybe he saw some of that, more of that vision. But now thinking about it a little bit more in this discussion, I don't know that he's going to get there with Stefanski. I don't know that he will.
I think that's a really interesting point. I don't either, by the way. Just so we're clear, like, at some point there are...
Like, Shador doesn't think that Stefanski made him in any sort of way.
No, and nor should he, by the way.
I don't think he should.
Like, he's gotten the bare minimum, and that's very...
I think he looks at it like Stefanski just stumbled into this, and Stefanski should be the one that is almost... If this goes the way that it just went last week and continues to go that way, Stefanski should look at them like, hey, you saved my bacon.
Well, but I also think Shador should understand that to learn the things he has to learn, and now we are talking back on the field, to learn the things that you have to learn, which is how to become a better pocket passer, that is where Kevin Stefanski is useful. Like, even if Kevin Stefanski is going to be here next year, even if there's distance between you and Stefanski, I'll be honest with you. I've worked for people I don't like. I've worked for people that didn't trust. And every single person I've worked with is somebody I've learned something from.
Yeah.
Because that's the missive if you are Shador Sanders. Your job is not to like everybody. It's not to be best friends with everybody. It's not to believe that everyone's got your best interest in. No, it's the NFL. Very few people have your best interest. It's all about the organization or themselves in the NFL. That's how the NFL works. But you do, a useful idiot is better than somebody who's on your side who just has no power in the game or nothing to give you.
Well, and yeah, and obviously, you know, I don't think Shador at the end of the day wants a bunch of bobbleheads around him either. You know, he doesn't need a bunch of yes men. He doesn't need people that are going to teach him and be brutally honest with it. I just think it was a little bit too early. But you make a good point. You're right. In that moment, he could have easily, he could have taken down the narrative. He could have easily washed Stefanski's hands clean of it all. And I think it's interesting that he didn't take that opportunity.
216-474-0092. What do you want? And what do people want out of Shador and Stefanski's relationship? More on this and Chuck and Jeff, you guys coming up as well in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Is
see the video of Stefanski and Shedeur Sanders, rookie making his first start at quarterback. Pretty easy one to go give it up for Shedeur. So I'm on board with like, yeah, a little weird. But here's the reality. Guys drafted in the 5th, 6th, 7th round, head coach might not even like that player. That might be the GM's pick. And clearly Stefanski drafted Dylan Gabriel. Now, I can't blame him for Shedeur Sanders. The rest of the league wasn't touching him either. But clearly he doesn't like him. So I just think this notion of like, he's not nice. It's in football. He doesn't like him. You're starting now as a 5th round pick. It's all, you know, in front of you. So all these excuses, all these people complaining, it's like, he goes makes plays. Everyone will shut up and Stefanski will be fired at the end of the year.
John Middlecoff on Shedeur playing well and the impact that it could have on Kevin Stefanski. We had a couple of calls on the Stefanski and Shedeur relationship. I think we're at kind of a critical point there where it'd be really great if Kevin and Shedeur could both understand the value the other guy has to them. Right? Mm-hmm. I've given you why I think Shedeur should see value in Stefanski. Stefanski knows pocket quarterback play. So while Shedeur does not fit what he wants right now, if there's a guy who can help guide Shedeur there, hypothetically, Stefanski should have the knowledge to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And by the way, Kevin's got to ease up on some of the pocket stuff and give Shedeur opportunities to make plays off script a little bit more. That I also think is fair.
Well, and how do you get any relationship to be better, right? Both sides have to feel like, okay, yes, the person's actually, they're rooting for me now and they're actually benefiting me. Really, the benefiting me part of it is the key here, though, right? Once Shedeur has a couple moments, and maybe he's already had them in the past week and a half or so, but a couple moments where he's like, oh, wow, Stefanski, he really does want me to succeed. And not only that, like, he's doing this and this helped me. And there, why do you think Deshaun Watson and Shedeur's relationship seems like it's so good right now, to the point where Deshaun traveled to Las Vegas, the first road trip he was there this season, to go ahead and help him out on the sidelines? Clearly, he's shown him enough, like, oh, I trust you. You've helped me in this quarterback situation. I want you to be there. So, like, I just think it's going to take both sides to tango here. And I think maybe they're onto that. I don't know, but it didn't sound like it today.
At some point, we are going to need the quintessential quarterback head coach thing. We're going to need that. We're going to need McVay and Stafford. We're going to need Mahomes and Reed. If you're going to get where either of these guys want to get, at some point, until proven otherwise, you're the only hope the other guy has.
Mm-hmm.
But with Kevin, I think Shedeur gives him the chance to solidify the narrative that I think he wants so badly around the NFL, which is, I'm the guy, right, that I'm the quarterback whisperer.
Right. This will give this to him. And he can talk about all the quarterbacks that didn't have this success previously, and we'll just kind of push those to the back burner. If he turns it, and they can even describe it this way, a 5th-round draft pick into, and I think this is what bothers Shedeur, by the way, the idea that Stefanski is going to retroactively just get a bunch of credit for all this. I think there's something about Shedeur that this is just going to, this will eat at his skin. Maybe it won't, and I'm just wrong there, because it'd eat at my skin. If I was Shedeur, it would bother me personally if all of a sudden Stefanski got a bunch of accolades and a bunch of, wow, look at what he did. But forget the accolades, forget the recognition. At some point, you guys just both need to save each other's jobs here.
Yeah, and I think with Shedeur, if you have success, someone's going to get credit for it. That's just the way the NFL works, right?
Yeah, you just have not care about it.
Pat Mahomes, singularly great. It'll be a huge thing that people talk about. The development of Pat Mahomes from, I think it was a 10th pick in the NFL draft, a guy who wasn't the first quarterback off the board, to the greatest quarterback of his generation. And it'll be disproportionate. I mean, how long did it take for us to figure out, you take Tom Brady away from Bill Belichick, and that is just an average-ass, goofy-ass dude. It took us 5-6 years, right? Maybe Shedeur doesn't ever get that chance. Maybe he's just a great quarterback, and who cares? If you are great, someone's going to get the credit. So whoever gets the credit, it doesn't matter. But I do think, as it pertains to where they are, I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin was trying to do the I'm going to make you earn my love thing with Shedeur. Shedeur's used to just having a connection with everyone.
Yeah.
And that being an easy thing for him.
I could see that, yeah.
And I can understand Kevin saying, well, you're not my guy. And in the way I think I've seen Tito Francona do this, in the way that I think I've seen a lot of head coaches in this town do it, I think Kevin's done it more than we realize. It just wouldn't surprise me if Kevin's tact this whole time, fair or unfair, is, well, you're not my guy, and you got to earn being my guy, and that is something that Kevin sees psychologically as part of Shador's development.
It's something interesting to monitor, because I think for right now, I think you're right, but I do think in the next couple weeks, if Shador does play really well against San Francisco even, it could just be the San Francisco game, guys like that you're describing with Stefanski, you go out there and ball, and you go out there and make them look good, and they're going to be right there.
Yeah.
I think we'll watch this in real time. If it goes well, we'll watch in real time as all of a sudden Stefanski goes from this guy that seems a little bit distant from Shador and a little apprehensive around Shador to wanting to give him credit, etc., to then being the first one to do that.
Well, but and this is where I do think it matters to the supporters. You guys got to give him the little latitude to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it's going to burn your ass when Kevin gets credit for it. Oh, well. Like, as long as it's working out between these two parties and we don't have to do coaching search radio and it's a real conversation, do they rock forward with Shador or do you still take a quarterback? Like, that's success from where you are or where you certainly were at 2-8 when Shador took over.
Yeah, and I got to remind myself of that as well, because I do. I think to myself, Stefanski is almost along for the ride if this does go well. And who cares? As long as they get the results, I don't care if Stefanski all of a sudden wants to treat Shador in a nice way and seems like they're buddy-buddy. But ultimately, I think what he's laying out right now is that relationship is... It's employee-employer, and that's an okay thing for right now.
216-474-0092. Let's go with Chuck in Chardon. Welcome to the show, Chuck in Chardon. What you got for us, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I think for Sanders to succeed, Stefanski obviously has to try to put him in a position where he can succeed, like he did last week. Easy throws, rollouts, even doing the, the single wing when they're, within the 5-yard line. The real problem the Browns have, though, is they don't have two tackles who can really block and allow Sanders or Gabriel to get to 3rd and 2. We put these young guys in this position at 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 10, and it's a struggle. It's a serious struggle. I mean, with two decent tackles, a decent quarterback, we could easily have 8 wins, 10 wins this season. And that's really why I'm disappointed in these Browns. We have a spectacular defense that could carry us to competitiveness, but without two healthy tackles, we're screwed. We had a great rookie class out there. Love it. But we got to go get a tackle. We got to draft a tackle. And of course, we need a big receiver. But let's be realistic about these young quarterbacks. The reason they're playing is because we don't have a good quarterback. And expect them to carry the team or project some franchise ability, it's just unrealistic. We want them not to turn it over. We want them to make decent decisions. We want them to complete the easy passes. Anyway, I wanted to get that off my chest after a half a season of frustration here. We need tackles. We need people who can block for these guys. Thanks.
Chuck, we appreciate you, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving. I agreed on the tackles part. What I will say is any starting quarterback in the NFL, you're looking for glimpses. No matter the situation around them, can they elevate the people around them? That is what was painfully not there with Dylan Gabriel, no matter what was around him. And what was pretty obvious in small spurts was Shador. And here's something that I do think they have got to stop being so predictable on what they're going to do on first and second down. They are not helping Quinshon Judkins be the best player he can. And listen, I'm sorry, screens. I know we just had the Dylan Sampson play. You've got to figure out some stuff on first and second down because there's no quarterback on the planet, even great quarterbacks, that consistently survive at 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10.
Yeah, it's not fair the amount of times, that I'm sitting on my couch and I'm doing, the Tony Romo parlor trick when he first started going into the broadcasting booth where he's calling out the plays before they happened. The amount of times that I'm able to do that, you listening on your couch are able to do that for first and second down, little too much. Yeah. A little too much for this Browns offense.
Yeah, and again, I shouldn't be like,
they're going to run here. And then they obviously run.
And they're going to run between
here.
The tackles.
And they're going to do this. And I'm not a magician at this, right? Like, it shouldn't be as obvious as they make it sometimes.
216-474-0092. Does Shador winning hurt Stefanski? I think John Middlecoff is all... I think 6 games is more than enough to build a good relationship between Shador and Stefanski, where both guys give a little and both guys get a lot out of this. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.